Bill Henry Show.
Look, 48 years of captivity of killer whale.
I guess when you have the economy and health care reform and the deficits under control, then you can spend your time worrying about
what you're talking about is the scene after Canada, Team Canada's women's hockey.
Well, fit. Un jeune avec une
cigarette. You see a young person with a cigarette in their mouth.
It's 2 inches long.
Hang in there, honey.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Thanks to Dr. Stone, another great crime night. It was fascinating. We really only talked about three different cases. One was Amy Bishop. The other was Joe Stack. And the other was the serial murderer, Rodney Alcala. In the case of Joe Stack, he said, hey, there wasn't anything wrong with the guy so much as he needed to be calmed down. He needed a timeout. He needed to be sat down. He probably needed to be put into, what do they call it, 72-hour observation, you know.
Where's that?
They put you in a nut house, not in a nut house, but they put you in a soft room for 72 hours, and they look through a window at you to make sure you're not going to start eating bugs, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them do that a lot of time. What do you mean eat bugs?
But I ain't going to describe it, okay? They put you in a room, 72-hour observation. They generally do this for people that are suicidal or a danger to themselves or others is the way they put it. And that's what Joe Stack needed. He needed a timeout. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. Amy Bishop, ain't nothing going to help her. And Rodney Alcala, well, he already did what he was going to do. Now the guy gets to be his own attorney. And God knows how many other bodies they're going to find that he left someplace. He's a serial murderer. So thank you very much, Dr. Stone. Welcome back to our program, guys. 877-876-PHIL. A noose now has been left in the library of UC San Diego, and a sexually suggestive anti-smoking ad sparks controversy in France. Now, here is the ad. For those of you who are watching our video cast at home, I'm going to hold this up. If you're looking at our live streaming video, you can see what you're looking at is a young man and a young woman, both of whom have cigarettes in their mouths. And you see that there is someone standing in front of them. They are both on their knees. Cigarettes in their mouths, both on their knees. Someone is standing in front of them holding the back of their head. Their heads.
That's dirty.
Well, that's what people are saying. They're saying it is a sexually suggestive ad. Shocking anti-smoking ads show kids in sexual positions. And in this case, of course, when we say kids, you don't know how old the models are. These models are probably 18 years of age or older. Although I don't know what the law is in France, but I hope that they didn't use underage kids. I'm sure that they didn't. I can't even the French, you know. I mean, I know I knock them. I make a lot of fun of them, but they're decent people as far as it goes. Although I was in an airport in Paris. You guys will find this interesting. I was in Orly Airport in Paris, France, a number of years ago, and they had a security guy there who asks you questions about what you're bringing, what you're taking out of the country. It's a security series of questions. It has to do with security. He says, are you carrying any explosives, sir? No. And he looks at me with a smile and he says, you don't have any Kalashnikov rifles, do you, sir? And he laughed. And I was there with my wife, Maria, and we both looked at each other and we looked back at him and he said, he noticed the quizzical look on our faces. And I said to him, you know, in the United States, you can't even make those kind of jokes. He said, oh, really? I said, no, you can't. If I made a joke like that, they would haul my ass into a substation someplace and start interrogating me. So the fact that this guy was waxing, you know, funny with Kalashnikov rifles and everything, they're a little kind of gone over there, but they're all right. Nonetheless, the ad shows these two kids with cigarettes in their mouths, and there's somebody holding the back of their, and they're on their knees, and someone holding the back of their head. So it is a sexually suggestive position and a sexually suggestive ad, and it's about smoking. Now, it has shocked some segments of Parisian society and beyond. This ad campaign featuring these teens in what they call in France a subservient sexual position has sparked a storm of controversy all over the country. It was sponsored by the Association of Non-Smokers' Rights. Oh, God. Oh, God, do I hate people like that. And one of the things that I'd said on the show, I'll never become a non-smoker. I will never join any non-smoking rights group. I got news for my fellow non-smokers, you know, and I've quit now 2 months. I got news for you. Your lungs have been compromised by far worse things than cigarette smoke. Your lungs, if you're listening to me in the city of Los Angeles and you grew up in this city, you got to be kidding me. The stuff you've been breathing. And the fact is, if you're from the sticks or you come from the rural sections of America and you've made your way into the big city and you're all of a sudden worried about whether somebody's smoking a cigarette next to you, you got bigger problems than whether there's someone smoking a cigarette next to you. You ever heard of car exhaust? All right, so in any event, while I loathe non-smokers' rights groups because they are a group, they're generally groups of professional pains in the ass. They're self-righteous, ignoramus, pain in the ass people who, now that they've quit smoking, or they never smoked, which makes them even more superior than the rest of us, they're going to read the riot act to people that do smoke. And what they've been able to create is a feeling of resentment and anger. I didn't quit smoking because of some pain in the ass non-smoker. I didn't quit smoking because some old lady was waving her hands in front of her face and going, ew. I didn't quit smoking. I smoked more when I saw people like that. I didn't give up cigarettes because some jackass was walking down the street one day when I was standing outside a studio that I was doing some voiceover work in. And I went outside to have a smoke, and this jackball, with nobody else around me, puts his coat over his nose and looks at me. Now, if I were some other kind of person, and I don't really know what kind of person that would be, I might have walked over to him, picked him up, and thrown him in the street right in front of, say, a cement truck going down the road. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Well, that's not the kind of guy that I am. But I didn't quit smoking because of him. So, I mean, if there's anybody listening, and you find that you are one of those people that you've waved your face and you've put up the thing and you're one of those people, I'm very, very happy to say to you, I didn't quit smoking because of your asses at all. If anything, I doubled up my cigarette purchases after I met you. Why did I quit smoking? Because I got sick. I got pneumonia. Double pneumonia with a nice appetizer of swine flu, and the aperitif was valley fever or some jazz like that. I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, you got valley fever on account of the valley.
That's why they call it valley fever, man. All right, so but let's get back to France, because having given this pitch to you guys, I gotta tell you, I like this ad. I like it. I like it because it's truthful. The ad, it's sponsored by the National French Association of Pain in the Ass Non-Smokers, features an adolescent who could be construed to be performing oral sex on a man in a suit, except the teen has a cigarette in his mouth. And the caption reads, "Smoking means being a slave to tobacco." There are two other ads in the same vein, one of them featuring a teenage girl. Now, the French, recognizing, of course, that they have, they have feelings over there, as we do over here. The French aren't exactly getting, they ain't digging it. Let's listen to some of the opinion here from the man on the street in Parlez-vous Français. Here is René Parola. He's the director of the Association for Non-Smokers' Rights. He tells Reuters the whole point of this here ad.
Well, in fact, un jeune avec une cigarette.
You see a young person with a cigarette in their mouth and someone's hand symbolizing authority. This picture represents the authority, the dependence one has to deal with when one starts smoking. Because very often when you start smoking, when you have that first cigarette, it's because you want to be cool. You want to prove yourself, to emancipate yourself from any authority, especially the parents' authority. We wanted to take the message given out sometimes by the tobacco industry and turn it around by explaining that when you start smoking, you don't become more free. You don't become emancipated, but in the contrary, you go into a new dependence.
Hey, Rennie, is it...
It's 2 inches long.
Okay, that's what I thought. Anyway, in the ad, it looked like it might be...
It's 2 inches long.
All right, so anyway, that is the head of that organization. And then he goes on to say, I think there's one other piece of compelling audio here. This is the man on the street, or the woman on the street, if you will, talking about the cigarette ad, talking about the length of the cigarette.
It's 2 inches long.
And what they think.
It's got nothing to do with it. The sex, the position, which looks quite violent, and the pedophile aspect, because they are young people. Adults would be different. In fact, it touches another problem, which has nothing to do with tobacco addiction.
qui n'a rien à voir avec celui du tabac.
Énormément.
I find this advert very shocking. There are other ways to do things than to put a cigarette at the height of genitals. What does that mean?
You know, I just realized something, that the cigarettes in France and in Britain and in other parts of Europe, cigarettes are a fact of life. People love their tobacco in Europe. It's a different over here. People are, you know, I'm sorry, I hate to say this because there's so many people who think we should apologize to the world. The fact is we are far more advanced than the rest of the world in so many things that it's embarrassing when you get into talking about it, because we've got a vested interest. Some people have a vested interest in selling this load of crap to the American people that we had something to apologize for. I'm never going to apologize for anything. Being an American, I'm never going to apologize for that or anything my country does. And the fact that there were jackasses holding up signs, "We're sorry, world." You know what their problem is?
It's 2 inches long.
All right, now, so here's what I think of this ad, though. I think it's a great ad. It's exactly what, that's the message, man. If you smoke cigarettes, and I know my fellow non-smokers and smokers alike, you guys that smoke, I smoked. I'm telling you, it's true. We're servicing the tobacco industry. We're on our knees, man. Okay, it's a Halloween party time, and they've just loaded the barrel with apples, if you know what I mean. It's absolutely appropriate. It's a message that is, yeah, it's a strong message. It may be offensive, but by God, it's absolutely true. If you smoke cigarettes, as I did for 43 years, you're on your knees. And the tobacco industry is in front of you, getting ready to pull its zipper down. It's as simple as that. That's exactly what it is. They're getting all the pleasure. We're getting the disease. We're getting the emphysema. We're getting the cancer. We're getting the bronchitis. And they're getting the pleasure of our money. Now, what in God's name? Understand that I know that what I'm saying makes a lot of sense to people. People said it to me. And I walked out of The Insider, that great movie with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe, and I said, that's it. I'm never smoking again. I quit for 6 months, the message being it's a nicotine delivery system. And I thought, by God, nobody's going to be delivering nicotine to my system by way of a cigarette. I was real self-righteous and just pounding my chest. 6 months later, I was back smoking cigarettes. But this may be the humiliation that that we as smokers, and I do call myself a smoker, even though I don't smoke anymore, this is the humiliation that we need, because after all, we do not have this problem.
It's 2 inches long.
Generally, as smokers, it's in the opposite direction. Okay.
You can't say that.
Well, I just did. 877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- found. This is San Diego, folks. This is Selma, San Diego, Alabama, California. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
If you want to see what we're talking about here, we're talking about this ad that that the French are talking about, this ad that shows these kids on their knees, and it looks like they're kneeling to the grand nozzle of the tobacco industry, and they got a cigarette in their mouth, and there's a guy there holding their head, and I'm, you know.
You're what?
I ain't doing that. What do you mean I'm what?
Don't put me in the ad, man. Yeah, he didn't in the ad, man. He's talking about you. He said he was doing something.
Don't talk about me like I ain't here. I'm telling you, hey, I said I smoked. That ad is dead on right. If you smoke, you're kneeling at the nozzle of the grand tobacco industry. Now, the French want it banned because they feel it is indecent. We've put the ad up on Twitter.com/Phil Henry Show. That's Twitter.com/Phil Henry Show. You can see the ad over there on our Twitter account. That is our staff Twitter account. Check it out. The family minister of France. They have a family minister. Do we have anything close to that? I don't know. The family minister of France, Nadine Morano, wants to ban the ad because it is indecent, in her opinion, and maybe in the opinion of the government. It's a, as she says, it's an affront on public decency. It is indecent exposure. So they have different ways of defining things. Over here, we're going to say there's nothing indecent at all in terms of exposure. Everybody's fully clothed. But, all right. So go over to Twitter, take a look at that, tell us what you think. You don't have to tell us what you think. See if it. I think it's a great ad, and I would love to see it here in the United States, only because I don't want to be shocking, but I think, I'm not the brightest bulb in the tree, but if there is someone who can be affected by a message, and I'm not one of them. I was a drug addict. I was a tobacco. I was a nicotine addict. You could tell me that I would get lung cancer. Look, man, I was 57 smoking. I wasn't going to stop. I was 57. I knew I had to smoke, but what am I going to stop? I don't know. I got no idea I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep on smoking. I like smoking. I liked it. I loved it. I hated it once I got pneumonia. Once I got pneumonia, I'm thinking about smoking. I wanted to vomit. And that was the end of that. That's carried me through at least now the last 8 weeks. But don't take my word for it, man, because I'm a novice in this quitting smoking thing. Now let's move down to what used to be called San Diego, California. Today it's like 1963 Mississippi down there. How y'all feel down there in San Diego, huh? What the hell is wrong with you people now? UC San Diego students took over the office of Chancellor Marianne Fox after a noose was found on campus. This is the fourth racially charged incident involving UCSD students over the past 2 weeks. This was there was hardly any breathing room as students packed Fox's office. Students sat on the reception desk on the floor. Bottles of water were handed through windows. Students are outraged after a noose was found hanging from a bookcase inside the university's main library. It's probably one guy, two guys. They probably want to get a reaction. It doesn't matter. You should find out who did it, and you should throw their ass off of campus. Every single son of a bitch involved in a act that is designed to inspire violence, and that's exactly what that is designed to do. There's no getting around that. That guy that used the N-word on the campus TV station, if that stupid little punk face is still on that campus, you got some serious problems with your administration there at UCSD. If that punk face that was on that campus TV station who was dropping the N-bomb is still at school there, somebody at the higher level, at the UC level, man, better get a hold of the situation, because there's nobody in charge in San Diego. We've got now. Here is the Chancellor Marianne Fox. She spoke to students using a bullhorn. The safety of our students, faculty, and staff is our primary concern. We'll not tolerate hate on our campus. As a result, all criminal acts will be punished. An unnamed female student has come forward to take responsibility. Campus police are not classifying it as a hate crime, but they're saying the noose was left with the intent to terrorize. It doesn't make any difference whether she wanted it to be a hate crime. It doesn't make any difference whether she knew what it meant. It doesn't make any difference whether she gets her ass blown off of that campus, you see, because that kind of thing, sweetheart, can cause violence within seconds. Within seconds, it can ignite a violent reaction between very, very pissed off African-American students seeing a noose and any white guy that looks at them cross-eyed, even so much as looks in their direction cross-eyed. You understand? Is it right? Is it wrong? I'm not saying. I'm just telling you. Use the N-word around a black man or woman and then look at them cross-eyed, and you got yourself a campus-clearing incident. You got the National Guard. Now, these are students, and so by definition, they're young. And also by definition, pardon me, they're stupid. Young and stupid can be, you know, it can be outgrown, it can be cured, but it takes time. And in the meantime, you have to sit down and say, here's the story. Here, I'm going to lay it out for you real good. You got it? I hear N-word on a campus TV station. As a matter of fact, if I hear N-word anywhere by you whites, oh, well, how come we can't say it? Because here's the reality, all right? Black people have taken that word over. They want to defuse it or whatever the hell their problem is with it. That's fine. You use that word. You know exactly what you're trying to do. Don't bullcrap me. Well, we feel that free speech does not include you inciting a riot. Well, why was the N-word? Tell you what you do, Junior. I'm going to throw you off of campus. You ain't going to school here anymore, but you go to whatever black neighborhood you want, and you'd go ahead and drop the N-bomb, and then explain to the people down there how it ain't racist. You notice there ain't, you know, there's no white people doing that, is there? And as far as you jackasses that hung the noose, You're fired, too. Get your ass off of this campus. Now, that's what the response should be. You nip it in the bud, and then you tell the black students, we're dealing with it, back to class. Anybody that doesn't get back to class, guess what? We're going to throw your ass off of campus, too. Everybody, just chill out. Dr. Fox is in the house. Okay, the Obama administration's already gearing up for re-election. The Phil Hendry Show. That next.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I got a whole lot more I can say about Selma, California. I mean, if you're in San Diego, you got to be embarrassed. Oh, it happens in other towns, Phil. Yeah, it happens. It ain't happened around here lately. I'm in Los Angeles. It hasn't happened at UCLA. We have a UC campus here. It hasn't happened at UCSB. I haven't heard about it happening at UCI. I haven't heard about it happening at UC Redlands. I haven't heard it happening about UC Chico or wherever the hell UC. What the hell are the Davis? See, I'm not smart enough to go to the UC campuses. I had to go to Cal State.
Yeah, Davis.
All right, UC Davis. The most controversial thing that happened at UC Davis is they had to analyze the contents of my lung to make sure I didn't have valley fever.
That's what you sent all the way up there.
Yeah, and I still haven't heard either. There's a scientist up there going, I don't know what it is, man. Oh, where's it from? Phil Hendry? Wow, what has this guy been breathing? Anyway, it ain't happening at any UC Berkeley. If this is happening, where's it happening? I'll tell you where it's happening. It's happening either in areas of the country where there has been a traditional tension surrounding this kind of thing, and that is the sensitivity of one's feelings when it comes to race, knowledge, wisdom, humanity, all these things that have to do with us living together, and, oh, yeah, there's the racial politics. Or it's happening in San Diego. It's happening in San Diego. It ain't Birmingham. It ain't Selma. It ain't St. Augustine. It ain't Memphis. It ain't Atlanta. And our good Southern listeners, people, the long-suffering people of the South, first integrated neighborhood I ever saw was in the South. I don't know what the hell anybody's talking about. Most segregated city I've ever seen, as I've said often, is Los Angeles, but the city of my birth. Segregated like you wouldn't believe, man. I mean, nobody lives in this city. There's no racial integration in this city at all. No, it ain't any of those places. It's San Diego, the biggest little city in the world, the home of the zoo, the home of SeaWorld, the home of the United States military, the United States Navy, up the coast, the United States Marines, the San Diego Chargers, the San Diego Padres, the San Diego whatever the hell they got. Nice city, nice people. And they got these freaking crackers down there. So if you're the head of UC San Diego, you tell the kid that hung the noose, you kick her ass out of there. She's an adult. She's an 18, 19, 20-year-old. She's an adult. High school's over. And this teaching stuff, I don't blame those students for walking out. That's an insult. Now get with it. You people in the administration and the faculty, you're dealing with a powder keg. You don't sit them down like they're a bunch of kindergartners and give them ice cream and say, today we're going to learn about how we're all different. These are adults, and I don't blame them. They're offended by your teaching. What they want you to do is to take the jackass that hung the noose, take that N-word punk off the TV station there on campus, and send their asses packing off the campus, and anybody else that thinks this is some kind of a game. Now, I understand that kids have off-campus parties where there are themes, where there are satirical approaches to things. Maybe the black students were pissed off by this Compton thing. Maybe that because it was off-campus, maybe the black students and the white students ought to talk about it off-campus. And I'm not talking about a fight. Sit down and let's get it going here. Your teaching is bullcrap, because what happened with that noose and the students coming into the chancellor's office or into the president's office was going to happen whether you had your teaching or not. Start treating these people like adults. Start treating them with the respect that they deserve. And that is, your ass is off this campus. Take your books, take your crap, take your parents' money and get out of here. Punk. And the girl that hung the noose, the same thing. And if there's any black students that that's not good enough for, that the administration is putting their hands on this thing and they are, you know, they're dropping the hammer. If that ain't good enough and you want to start some crap, your ass is off campus too. How's that feel? But I'll tell you one thing. You better get it together and you better get it under control real fast, because I got news for you. Nooses and the N-word, there's no teach-in that solves that. Those are powder keg moments. That is an invitation to violence. So quit screwing around and take care of the people that are causing the problem. Those people that do those things, they may be stupid. I'll give you that. But they are invitations to violence. Now, you know, I mean...
Man, you're getting all serious.
I know. I didn't want to get serious. I'm sorry.
Here, drink this, man.
What is this? Get that. What is that?
Mountain Dew.
I don't want Mountain Dew. I told you, give me some of that. Pardon me. All right. So anyway, it's time now on the Phil Hendry Show for something that we like to call the media. Oh, man, do they suck. Actually, we don't have a name for this. But we do like to, you know, we want to give it a name. We don't have any music for it, and we don't really have a name for it. But
there were three.
We'll call it the Charlie's Angels segment. How about that? Thank you. All right. This is called How the Media is Blowing It Again. And this is a story that on the surface you'd say, well, what's the problem with it, Phil? Well, I'm going to give you the problem with it. I'll give it to you straight up. See, understand what we said to you guys many, many months ago. There's nothing that's going on right now, by the way, that we didn't predict on this show. There's nothing going on that we didn't predict on this show. Obama having a problem with the liberal wing of his party, we predicted it. The Republicans not understanding or knowing what it is that they represent, we predicted it. The Tea Party people, seemingly a cohesive unit, there's nothing cohesive about them again. Those people don't agree on anything, the Tea Party people, other than their costumes. They call each other up before they go out to a rally and say, what are you wearing today? And they get out their three-pointed hats. That's all they understand. And we also told you that you are in the middle of, not only are we in the middle of a very important period in the history of our country, we're also in the middle of a media revolution, in the middle of a media fight, where media companies, where the disseminators of information, where people who are in the business of informing you, of giving you opinion, people who are there to tell you what's going on every day, they're fighting for every nickel. They are fighting to stay alive. And they will lie. Yes, they will lie. Of course they'll lie. If the difference is this, I'm going to make $5 this week or I ain't going to make a dime. Well, how can I make $5? You can lie. All right, I'm going to do that. You know, I just got done saying we ought to stop being children down there in San Diego. Let's stop being children here in this country the way we talk about and deal with things. Of course they lie. And they'll lie to you and tell you anything that they think you want to hear, so you'll keep listening, and so the advertising revenue goes up. It's as simple as that, folks. There's nothing more complicated about it at all. Now, UPI is a classic example. United Press International. At one time, United Press International was the gold standard of news. Before there was NBC, CBS, before there was anything, United Press International and Reuters. That was it. United Press International today, I mean, they can't get arrested. You could sneeze on them, man, and they could drop dead and you wouldn't notice. United Press International is nothing. So they have to do whatever they can to get people to pay attention to them. Now, here's their headline. 2012 Obama campaign gears up. Why have they made that a headline? Because it's another way of getting people to pick up the paper and say, look at that Obama again. Oh, my goodness gracious. Obama's interesting. He's the president. People love to dump on him. People like to like him. People like all kinds of things about Obama. So UPI decides, well, there isn't any real Obama news today. Why don't we create some controversy and say, look at Obama. He's gearing up for the 2012 campaign. Now, there's people listening to me right now, and they're saying, well, that is kind of, I mean, gee, Phil, this is 2010. That's a whole 2 years. What does he think he's doing? Why, doesn't he know he has a job to do? Yeah, the Republicans have got a job to do, too. And I got a news flash for you and UPI. Not that UPI doesn't know it. The Republicans are gearing up for 2012 right now. Is there a headline saying Republicans are gearing up for 2012? No, there isn't a headline saying Republicans are gearing up for 2012. That doesn't make good copy. Nobody wants to read that. UPI knows what people want to read. They want to read stuff about Obama. Is he screwing us up? Is he helping us? Oh, my God, Obama. The Republicans, my goodness gracious, why, they just have their hands tied. There's nothing they can do. They sit there and they wring their hands and they, oh, goodness, and they wax about, you know, their tax cuts. These guys are stuck. They're stuck on a message that, seriously, if you stepped back and you listened to what it is Republicans are saying, you'd swear to God that they've designed it for people who are developmentally disabled. Honest to God. Because here it is. If they just cut taxes, cut taxes. You understand, Mr. Republican, that these guys are ideologically not the same as you, so they're not going to do what you want them to do because they don't believe the same things you believe in. So you jackasses haven't come up with anything other than the same pitch, and you like to see them not being able to get anything done, but you don't love your country. You want to stall the country. So Obama is the problem, and here it is. Obama campaign gears up. The thing they don't tell you is the Republicans are gearing up, too. The Republicans are getting ready for 2012. The Republicans are getting their war chest ready. The Republicans are raising money. The Republicans are taking a look at all their candidates. Who have they got? Who have they got, you know, conceivably that can go up against Obama? So that's the story. If you wanted to waste somebody's time, I'm from UPI. I want to give you the truth. Really? Yeah. Then tell me what's going on today. The Republicans and Obama continue to gear up for 2012. Thank you. You're welcome. Why did you say Obama only? I didn't think you'd buy the newspaper. I'm not buying your newspaper because I'm smarter than you, man. I know that you've got this story designed to get some stupid clown to buy it so he can run off with his friends and talk about what a schlub Obama is and what a waste of time the guy is. Never mind the fact the Republicans are doing the exact same thing. So that's why we call this segment The Media Sucks, or whatever we're going to call it. I mean, we always like to take 15 minutes out of every show to tell you how you're being lied to. Now, I don't know whether you care. Here is CNN's James Carville. He's telling Wolf Blitzer that he's upset someone leaked this story to Politico's Mike Allen. Let me tell you something, Mr. Carville, sir. How do you know it was leaked? How do you know it wasn't just good old-fashioned reporting? How do you know it's even happening? How do you know that Mike Allen and UPI haven't just created it out of whole cloth? And if it's leaked, why don't you just tell Mr. Blitzer and the rest of those brain surgeons you're talking to, well, you know, Wolf, this is going on the Republican side, too. It ain't really news.
You know, we could argue whether or not it's too early, and it might be, but what is inarguable is someone shouldn't have run their mouth to Mike Allen about it. And if I'm the President of the United States, I would be, like, bouncing off the walls, and more appropriately, bouncing some staff people off the walls here. I've always admired the president's operation, a campaign. They were very disciplined and tight-lipped. But why in the world would somebody be, and I know Mike Allen, he wouldn't make this up, why somebody would be running their mouth to him, I have no earthly idea. And this is the last story that this White House needs right
and
now.
And Mike Allen has no interest in going over to the Republican side and saying, hey, are you guys gearing up for the 2012 campaign? Well, I guess you are. And a word to the wise, Mr. Carville, because I started this segment by saying there isn't anything going on that we didn't tell you guys about 10, 12 months ago in this show. And you just heard Mr. Carville say something that we talked about last spring. President Obama needs to kick some asses. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take him to get the message, but if he doesn't start to kick a little ass, and starting with that guy Emanuel, who I still believe is a liability, he'll lose in 2012. He'll lose. He'll get that one-term presidency. He can be a two-term presidency. He doesn't have to do all that much. The first thing he's got to do is get a whole new crew in the White House. Those stumble bums couldn't find it with both hands. Get rid of that Pelosi and that Reid because, God help him, and we said this too, man, liability. I mean, it's beyond liability now. Those people, it's like leaking gasoline. Somebody's lighting a cigarette. Now let's listen to Jack Cafferty. For what reason, I don't know, but he's always fun.
I guess when you have the economy and health care reform and the deficits under control, then you can spend your time worrying about the next election, even if it's almost 3 years away.
See how Cafferty got conned? Cafferty, an experienced newsman, worked for NBC, was an anchor in New York. You see how he's conned into thinking that, wow, look what Obama's doing. Cafferty, a liberal. Cafferty, who's on CNN, who should know better, who probably, it would be very credible, I think, if he said, hey, cool, Obama's doing it. But the Republicans right now, they're loading up their war chest, too. They're getting ready for 2012. Are they helping run the country? No, they're running around seeing who they can kneel down in front of. They're looking for their knee pads. 877-87, what are you looking at?
You're talking about dirty stuff.
Ooh.
You are.
Ooh. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more filth.
You are.
Ooh.
Phil Hendry.
There are people say, you know, you sound like a liberal. Well, why? Because I happen to support President Obama. During President Bush's presidency, I was a big supporter of President Bush because I liked what he was doing in Iraq. I liked the very, very aggressive nature of President Bush's attack on Al-Qaeda and the Middle East in general. And I saw the logic of what he was doing. It's a very difficult thing to explain, especially in the words of Richard Nixon, when you're talking to a bunch of teary-eyed mothers but that's not really the words of Richard Nixon. Those are the words of Anthony Hopkins in the movie about Nixon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I was trying to look it up.
Well, you can keep on looking. Anyway, so those are the words of Anthony Hopkins. And I still do. And here today in the year 2010, what do we see? Well, what do we see? I mean, this is not hard to understand, I don't think, or maybe it is. We see the fact that the Patriot Act has been extended. Now, if I had a nickel for all the tears that were shed and the teeth that were gnashed and drops of blood that were spilt over the argument about the Patriot Act being the shredding of the Constitution and the worst thing that came down the pike since John Wilkes freaking Booth, I'd be a multi-billionaire. Oh, my God, this is the end. Oh, have you read the... Yeah, I've read the Patriot Act. Have you read the Patriot Act? Better question. It's like these people with Joe Stack. Did you read Joe Stack's manifesto? Yes, I did. Did you? The Patriot Act. I love the Patriot Act. I understood the Patriot Act, and it got extended by the United States Congress. Why? Because it ain't unconstitutional. And now we're in Afghanistan, and what are we doing? We're looking to kick some ass in Afghanistan. And when people talk to me about Iraq, I say to them, look at Iran. Do you think a democratic Iraq or a Saddam Hussein is the person or the system we want in place in Iraq as Iran is beginning to throw off the shackles of the 10th century? All right, anyway, Obama is focusing on talk radio. The Democratic National Committee's Organizing for America has quietly launched an initiative aimed at making Obama supporters' voices heard on the largely conservative airwaves. The fate of health reform has been a focus of debate in living rooms and offices, on TV and online, and on talk radio. And since millions of folks turn to talk radio as a trusted source of news, we need to make sure OFA supporters are calling in. Who are they, OFA supporters? Organizing for America. Okay. Well, look, can I give you guys a word of advice? Who is running the show? You know, people were saying that Obama's campaign is organized, and I heard that from Carvel. Can I give you guys a couple of words of advice? If you try jamming the airwaves of a talk show and you come up against a screener that knows what he's doing, you ain't going to get on the air. If I'm the host, and I agree with Obama on health care, I do not want a bunch of sycophants and jive-ass Obama supporters coming on, and suddenly it's preaching to the choir. If I do agree with the president on health care, but if I got a whole bunch of people, and some cats may think, hey, Phil Hendry's a conservative. He was just talking about how Bush had it right on Iraq. Let's call him up and start selling health care. Their fright wig is going to get ridden off, man, when they hear me say, yeah, I dig health care. I'm with that. Well, maybe they'll stop calling the show. I don't know. But the point is, jamming up the talk lines at talk stations and talk shows with the pitch on health care. Are you kidding me or what? You know what you need more of? And I'm going to tell you this. You need more Obama on TV, nose-to-nose with Republicans. It's great television. It works for him. The Republicans look, once again, like they're walking around. They can't find their ass with both hands. You want a winning strategy. You put Obama on television going up against Republicans. Put him in debates. You know, he debated to be elected president. Why doesn't he get in and debate Boehner, debate McConnell, the rest of these jive asses on health care? That's a winner right there. And you can say that you can tell people it was your idea. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.